It's been a busy week this week since we met last Sunday morning. Of course, we've had vacation Bible school every night, and then I had two funerals this week, one on Tuesday and one on Saturday. And by the way, I had to work a little bit at my other job this week as well. But it was a good week because every day this week, and then twice on Tuesday, I got to open the Bible, and I got to talk about Jesus, and I got to talk about heaven in some cases, and I got to tell some of the Bible stories that God puts in the Bible so that we can learn about Him. Saturday afternoon, I was just about spent. I mean, I was tired, and I was sitting in the hallway out there. We had a funeral dinner for the family that lost their mother yesterday. And I was just sitting there, just watching people go through the line. We had a big crowd, probably had 150 people for dinner, and we only had about 100 chairs set up, so I was trying to figure out where everybody was going to sit, and they were gracious that they took chairs outside and sat outside. But a man and his wife came up. They were toward the end of the line, and he put out his hand to shake my hand, and I stood up to shake his hand, and he said something like this. He said, "It was a very beautiful service," and I said, "Thank you." And then he made this comment. He said, "Thank you for making the story of Jesus so simple." And I looked at him and I said, "You know, I really didn't have to work very hard at making it simple, because God's the one that made it simple. All I had to do was tell it the way that God told it." See, so many times men get into the story of Jesus and they make it complicated. They add all sorts of things to it that God never intended to be added to it. And it's a simple story. And I said, God made it that way. And all I did was tell it the way that He told it. Well, they finished dinner, and we had a lot of the family that was here yesterday help pick up the chairs and put the tables away, and it came down, everybody was gone except for Lois and I. Lois had, she was getting ready to sweep the kitchen and mop the kitchen. I said, "Lois, I know you're as tired, if not more tired, than I am," because she'd been to Bible school every night and brought four or five kids with her, and then she was in the kitchen all day yesterday. Servant, I said, "Why don't you just go home and I'll sweep the kitchen and mop the kitchen." So, when I was in there mopping the kitchen, I got to thinking. I think God laid it on my heart, and I got to thanking Him. And I got to, you probably never did this, Diane, but I got to crying. It wasn't the pine saw in the kitchen, but I got to crying, and I got to thinking, oh, how good it is that God made it so simple. How great it is that we got a God that made the gospel so simple that anybody could understand it. Yesterday at the funeral service, I told the story of Jesus, and there was a lady in her 70s that I always give an invitation at my funeral services, and I don't ask people to walk down the aisle, but I tell them the story of Jesus. And yesterday, like was true last Saturday for John's mom and was true last Tuesday for Debbie's grandmother, this lady was a Christian. She was in heaven. And I got to tell the story of Jesus. And I said, "Hey, if you would like to join this dear lady in heaven, there's only one way you can do it, and that's to ask Christ into your heart." And I said, "If you'd like to do that today, I want you to raise your hand." And it was a 70-year-old lady slipped up her hand, and I prayed, and she prayed, and she asked Jesus to be her Savior. I talked to her after the service because she was here at dinner, and she said, she almost said the same thing that your mom said, John, when you led her to Christ. She said, "I just can't believe how happy that I feel inside." One night after Bible school, I was talking to a little 4-year-old girl that came with one of our families, and she asked me, she said, "Well, how do you get to heaven?" She said, "I saw it, and I don't know if it's one of the tracks we have out there, Brother Chuck, but she said, I saw a track in it, and one of my friends told me it talked about heaven. I'd like to know how you get to heaven." And I took her aside and took her down the Romans Road, and she prayed, and I talked to her mom, and her mom wants to wait to make sure she understands it before she gets baptized or anything. But I'm so glad that we got a God that made the gospel so simple that a little 4-year-old girl could understand it. and ask Jesus to be your Savior. I'm so glad that we got a God that made the gospel so simple that a lady that's 70, I think she told me she's 74 years old, could understand it and get saved. Another night after Bible school, I was talking to a teenage girl, and she asked me the question. She says, what sin will send me to hell? And I said, well, one will do it, and God's not particular, anyone will do it. One sin makes you a sinner, and that sin will take you to hell. I took her down the Romans road, but she wasn't ready to decide for Christ. She didn't make the decision, but I'm so glad that God made the gospel so simple that a teenager could understand it. This morning, in the next few minutes, I want to preach a sermon that I've entitled The Simple Gospel. The Simple Gospel. You know, we sometimes use that word simple to belittle something, and that's not my meaning this morning. Far from it. The Bible says, and Paul says it in Romans chapter 1, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. And again, I'm so glad that we have a God that made it so simple. As I was swinging the mop yesterday in the kitchen and thinking about this and thanking God for it, and I hesitate to say because Bev will always kid me, I almost had a little Pentecostal fit in there in the kitchen, clapping my hands, if any of you would have come in yesterday, you would have for sure. Ellie was here on Thursday night, and I said, well, what do you think about our craziness? And she said, well, I had a crazy preacher one time, and I thought to myself yesterday afternoon, if anybody would have come in, you would have thought for sure you had a crazy preacher in there mopping and singing just having a good time. But I thought about this, why did God make it so simple? And three thoughts came to my mind. He made it so simple so that everybody could understand it. You don't need a PhD or a master's. You don't need a college degree. You don't need a high school diploma. You don't even need kindergarten experience. It's so simple that a little four-year-old girl can understand what it takes to receive Christ as her Savior. So simple that a 73-year-old woman can understand why she needs to ask Jesus to be her Savior. God made it so simple that the youngest to the oldest and everybody in between could understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And then I thought, he made it so simple so that everybody could qualify. Doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter what kind of parents you have or had. Doesn't matter what your childhood was like. Doesn't matter what kind of job you hold or how much money you got in the bank. You qualify. You qualify for the gospel. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. Doesn't matter whether you rent your home or own your home or are homeless. You qualify for the gospel this morning. Doesn't matter what kind of life you live, whether you're good or bad, whether you're mean or kind. You qualify for the gospel this morning. God made it so simple that every single person in this room can understand it. God made it so simple that every single person in this room can know that they qualify. And then here's a third thought that came to my mind. God made it so simple so that everybody could take it. He's not willing that any should perish. God's not willing that anybody should have to go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. And so he made it so simple that we don't have to pay anything. He made it so simple that we don't have to do anything. He made it so simple so that we don't have to be something. We don't have to join something. We don't have to hang on to something. We don't have to endure to the end. He made it so simple that regardless of how old you are this morning, how much education you have, what your financial status, what your social status, I don't care who you are, God made the gospel so simple that every single person can take it this morning. So let me tell you the story. The old, old story. We were created by God to fellowship with Him. Brother Dick, come and help me. We were created by God. You say, oh no, preacher, you got it all wrong. I wasn't created. I was born. Well, who do you think was behind that? God was. No little baby ever born without God being in back of it. No little baby ever born without God making it happen. That's why abortion is so wrong. God, that God ordained that child. But anyhow, I'm not going to get off on that this morning, although I want to sometimes, especially after vacation Bible school, when I see all those precious little children. But listen, we were made by God to fellowship with Him. That's why He made us. He wanted us to be part of His family. He wanted us to enjoy our company. And we were made to fellowship with God. But something happened. Something changed. God didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I changed. I became a sinner. And God, because of my sin, had to turn His back on me. And by the way, I represent every single person in this room this morning. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I mentioned it at one of the funerals this week. I can't remember, maybe both of them. Look, if I compare myself to some other man, you can be dead sure that I can find somebody who's a worse sinner than I am. I mean, if I look long enough, I can find somebody that's meaner than I am, that does things that they're not supposed to more than I do. I can find a worse sinner. And if I compare myself to that person, I can say, hey, I'm not so bad. Hey, God, when you look at me and when you look at him, you got to say that he's a lot worse than I am. But that's not what God says we need to compare ourselves to. We don't need to compare ourselves to some other person, because all of us can find somebody that's worse than we are. We need to compare ourselves, like that verse says, to the glory of God. I compare myself to Jesus Christ. Larry, come up, help me. Yeah, you go over there and stand by Brother Dick. In fact, stand back to back to him. Okay? Here's who I'm coming. We're going to let Dick represents God. Larry represents Jesus. I know it's bad typecasting, but it's the best we got. And just picture with me. Look, here's Jesus. I compare myself to Terry or to Lauren, and I'll probably find an area of their life where I could say, "Hey, God, I'm better than Terry is. I'm better than Brother Lauren is in this area of my life." But when I come to the mirror that God wants me to look at, and I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I am a sinner. And that sin separates me from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we know about physical death. I've seen it 3 times in the last 8 days. 3 times in the last 8 days I've gone into a funeral home. 3 times in the last 8 days I've stood by a casket and I prayed before the funeral that I would represent that person and tell them the story of Jesus to their family and friends. And physical death is not the punishment that we get because we're a sinner. It's spiritual death, where just like in physical death, we're separated from our body, in spiritual death, we're separated from our God. And in my sin, left to my own devices, I am separated from the God that created me. I am separated from the God that wants to fellowship with me. And there's nothing that I can do on my own to make it right. I can't be good enough. I can't join a church. I can't get baptized. I can't take the Lord's Supper. None of that will make it right between me and God, because I'm still a sinner. I can't do anything. The Bible says, not of works, lest man should boast. And here's the sweet part of the gospel. Here's the sweet part of the old story. What I couldn't do for myself, God did for me. He sent Jesus to pay for my sins. The wages of sin is death. Jesus had to pay the price for my sins. When he went to Calvary, he took all of my sins on him. If my coat represents my sins, what God did is he took all my sins and put them on his son. And when Jesus went to the cross, he paid for my sins. So that when I come to God now, I still have my sins. Just because I got saved doesn't mean I'm perfect. Far from it. I still have my sins. But when I come to God, turn around, Brother Dick, I don't come where he can see my sins. I come behind the Lord Jesus Christ so he can see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when I want that fellowship back, I can have it. Not because of what I did, not because who I am, but because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. All right, thank you guys. It's simple. Every one of us is a sinner. It's simple. Every one of us owe a penalty or a debt for that sin. It's simple. There's nothing that we can do to pay it. It's simple. When Jesus died on Calvary, he paid our sin debt for us. It's simple. All we have to do is take it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This morning, it's so simple that every single person here ought not to leave this place until they do exactly that. It's so simple to receive Jesus. You say, okay, preacher, you piqued my interest. What do I need to do to receive Jesus? The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. And you receive Jesus just like you do any other gift. You just take it. You take it. Just like that little 4-year-old girl, when we bowed her heads, I said, do you want to take Jesus as your Savior? And she said, yeah, I do. I do. I want him. I said, okay, let's pray. And I prayed a little prayer, something like this, and said, dear Jesus, we know that we're sinners. And we know that there's a price that we have to pay for that sin. But we believe that Jesus paid the price. And right now, this little girl is asking you to be her Savior. And I said, if that's what you are praying, I want you to reach out and take hold of my hand. And she took hold of my finger. She couldn't reach the whole hand, Brother Clint. Just she took hold of the end of my fingers and she squeezed as hard as any little girl I know could squeeze. And she asked Jesus to be her Savior. Now look, if a little 4-year-old girl could do that, there's no reason why anybody in this room couldn't do it. The only reason you can't do it is because you won't. You won't. And this morning, I'm asking you, why not? Why not? Jesus said there's no other way to heaven but him. There's no other way to get that fellowship restored except through him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you've never prayed a prayer, something like, it doesn't have to be those exact words, but you need to tell God you know that you're a sinner. You need to understand that there's a penalty, and then you need to tell Jesus that you're taking him. You want that gift of salvation that he has for you. And again, it's so simple that every single person in this room this morning could do it if you would. And this morning I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to put aside anything that would keep you from doing it. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know what kind of life I live. Doesn't matter. It's so simple, it doesn't matter what kind of life you lived. You say, well, you just don't know what I've done. It's so simple, it doesn't matter. God wants you just like you are. And if you will this morning, you can make Jesus your Savior. Would you? Would you put aside what's ever gotten in your way before? Would you put aside anything that's stopping you from making that decision? Would you trust Christ? It's so simple that anybody could do it if you would. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple. Thank you for making it so that a little girl can understand it. Thank you for making it so that an elderly lady could understand it. Thank you for making it so simple that anybody in between could understand it. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray you'd help them understand there's no other way to get right with God. They can't fix it any other way. that Jesus is the only way, and he wants them just like they are. Just like they are, he'll take them. He'll take away all of our sin, make us right with our God, give us a home in heaven. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, that they would do it right now. Right where they sat, help them pray that little prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separated from you forever. But I'm believing in Jesus, and I'm trusting in Jesus, and I'm taking Jesus for myself to make me right with you. And I pray, Father, that as they pray that prayer, that in just a second when we give the invitation, they would get up and walk, get out of their seat, walk down the aisle, and they would share with the rest of us that they've made that decision for Jesus. Holy Spirit, bless the invitation. Just use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.